Hey guys, welcome to Sunday Nights at Refuge, a community-focused Bible study that gathers weekly in our Common Ground Cafe. So grab a cup of coffee or tea and your Bible. By the way, you can connect with us on Instagram at Refuge Family. Now, our prayer is that Jesus would use this message to draw you closer to Him. So if you're ready, let's join tonight's study.
If you guys have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And then when you guys are there, go ahead and look up so I know that you guys are there. All right, cool. Wow, some of you guys are fast. As you guys are turning there, I'm going to pray. Father, we thank you for this time, Lord, where we get to enter into your word. Father, even now, Lord, I just want to pray for our hearts. God, we know that so many times, Lord, our heart comes in and Father, there's times where we're hard-hearted, Lord. There's times where, God, our soil of our heart is just very rocky. Lord, other times where it's very much, Lord, where we'll receive something and it just goes in one ear and out the other. But Father, we want to be like the good soil, Lord, that you talk about in the parable. Lord, we want to be like those who hear, God, who receive, and God, who produce a abundant harvest, Lord, both through our lives and the ways that we live. And so, Father, I pray that tonight, Lord, would you just grow in us a desire for you? Lord, would you grow in us, Lord, the ability to hear from you? And, Father, I pray that tonight, Lord, we would just be transformed and not leaving the same way that we did tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, have any of you guys ever had maybe a vision or an idea of how something was going to maybe go, and it just didn't happen that way? Anybody have that, right? I think we've all could say that we've had that at some time, whether it was maybe going to a certain school or having maybe a certain job, and you're like, man, once I get to this job, it's just going to work out awesome, right? Or, man, whatever it is, we've all had that experience. But for me, this actually happened when I had the DTR with my now beautiful wife, and let me boast real quick before I get into the story about my wife. My wife is the best. Seriously, she has the most amazing love for Jesus, the most amazing love for people, right? She has such a just great heart all around, and she's an amazing wife and mama. But if you guys don't know what a DTR is, it basically means it's time to define the relationship. It's time to define what this relationship is about and where it's going. So about 6 months after my wife and I met, we became pretty good friends, right? And pretty early on, I kind of just started liking my wife. I knew just at an early point that, man, this is going to be the girl that I was going to marry. But because we started getting closer, right, and we talked on the phone all the time at this point, we kind of texted all the time, right, we kind of even went on somewhat dates, but I was like, man, she better know how I feel, right? So basically, we go on this date, and I'm going to tell her. I'm like, man, she has to know because this is going to get weird if she doesn't know, right? And so there was a moment that actually seemed really right. So I was about to say it, and I didn't. Actually, I chickened out. And so she ends up going home. She lived in Marietta at that time. She was going to school and working at the Bible college out there. But I felt this strong sense like, man, I just need to tell her. So I called her, right? And just to give you guys a little bit more context of the time, at the time, I was working out like 4 or 5 times a week, right? I was surfing all the time, so I was tan, I was a musician. And so in my mind, when I tell her, she's going to be like, man, oh yeah, I've been waiting for you to say that. I feel the same way too. I've liked you for forever, right? And these different things, that's what I thought in my mind. But things didn't end up going that way. So what happened is I end up fumbling on the phone for like 30 minutes, like, right, I'm just kind of just saying like a lot and just kind of going back and forth. And then after some coaxing from my now wife, I got out the words, okay, all right, I'm going to say it. I like you. And what I got back was this, what am I supposed to do about it? And on the other side, this confidence that I had, it all just dropped. And I was like, I don't know, maybe let's just pray about it, right? And if you guys don't know what to say, just say that. That's always a good answer, right? But to my wife's defense, she had been in a bad relationship the year before and was actually afraid. So the question really meant, what are your expectations for us? What are your expectations for where this is going to go? But all I heard was this response that I didn't expect, right? And thankfully, later on, she realized she liked me too. We're married then a year later from that. And then even though it didn't go as I hoped it would go, I'm glad we talked because we were able to figure out our relationship or what it was all about. And relationships, guys, those are so vital. They're so important, right? Especially our relationship with Jesus. We've all heard the slogan before, it's not about religion, it's about relationship, right? And that is such a good truth to hold on to, right? Life is all about the relationship that you have with God, the one who made you, the one who died for you, the one that loves you. But unfortunately, the problem is most people don't know what that relationship actually entails or what it means to actually know God. Because to most people, what that means is, man, I just keep living my life the way I want, and God now is supposed to bless me, right? I don't need to talk to him. We don't need to spend time together, right? He certainly won't tell me what to do, right? Because he cares about my happiness. So in it, and he's not going to tell me any of that. But what kind of relationship have you guys ever had that worked out like that, right? Is that ever the way it works, right? Just ignore the person, right? And as they're trying to talk to you, you're just like, right? And then they're there to serve your every need. If they ask you for something, you're like, no way, right? If you guys have been in that relationship or you are thinking like, man, that's my view of it, you're not going to be in a relationship for long, trust me, right? But if it doesn't work for people, then why do we believe that that would work for our relationship with God? If it doesn't work for people, then why do we believe that that would work when we are talking to the king of the universe? Why does it make sense for us to say, yeah, like this is how I can treat him? And the Bible gives us some illustrations to what this relationship should look like. It kind of gives us a helpful understanding to what it's supposed to be, right? And tonight we're going to look at one of those illustrations, and it's a sheep and a shepherd, a sheep and a shepherd. And just a hint, guys, no, we are not the shepherd. So my hope for the end of our time is that you're going to be glad that we are not the shepherd as we look at Jesus, who is the good shepherd. So John 10, I'm going to read starting at verse 1 all the way to verse 17. This is what it says. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep who are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay it down my life and that I might take it back up again. If you guys would pray with me one more time, but this time I'm not going to pray. We do this a lot, just out of response, but I'm going to actually have you guys pray, not out loud, but just internally, that God would speak to you in this next moment. We're just going to take about 60 seconds just to acknowledge and ask the Lord to speak to us individually how he would like to. So let's take this moment. Father, we believe that your word is alive, it's active. God, you are wanting to use it to transform our hearts. And so, Father, right now I pray that you please would anoint me by your Spirit, Lord, to not muddy it up, God, to not be distracting, but, Father, rather to point to the great truths, Lord, as we understand, Lord, the character of who you are as our shepherd. And so, Father, would you please speak now? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm sure a lot of you guys have actually heard this passage taught a lot. I had a lot also growing up. But usually when I hear it taught, it's usually something about how people and sheep are alike, right? And then the pastor or the teacher, they give all these awesome meanings like, okay, But sometimes it's kind of a lot, right? Sometimes it's like, all right, yeah, the sheep are fluffy and so are we, or man, sheep are stubborn and so are we. And they continue to kind of just give out these meanings about what the sheep looks like and how we are. But I'm going to keep that to a minimum today. And firstly, because I don't believe that this passage is primarily about the sheep, but I believe that the goal of this passage is about the shepherd. We do need to know this about sheep, though, before we get in, is sheep are completely dependent on who's taking care of them. So sheep, they cannot survive alone. They need someone to take care of them. And in this passage, Jesus is comparing himself to the shepherd and us to sheep. Now, for a lot of us, that might not mean too much. We're like, okay, a shepherd and sheep, right? How many of us have had experience being a shepherd or doing any kind of shepherding? One back there. All right, nice, nice. That's amazing right there. I was thinking that there's going to be no one. But most of us haven't, right? Because in our culture, we're kind of like, okay, yeah, we're city, we drive, we do these different things, and we don't really have that around us. But at that time, in their society and in their culture, it was a lot different, right? Not only would they have seen shepherds and sheep all everywhere, right? But they used to think of people who were spiritual leaders or political leaders actually as shepherds. And so they would put themselves under their care because they understood that they were sheep and these were shepherds. So the first half of John 10 is basically this discourse Jesus is having with some religious leaders about basically them throwing out this guy who Jesus had healed, right? This guy was blind and Jesus heals him and they throw him out because he believed in Jesus. And throughout this discourse, we see Jesus contrasting himself with thieves and robbers and with a hired hand, right? So the question is, why does he do that? Why does he do that? And the reason is because through verses 1 through 10, Jesus is warning them that all who say that they're shepherds aren't always shepherds, right? All who say that they're shepherds aren't always real shepherds. Because there were thieves in the ancient world, right? And they would go to steal sheep. So they would jump over the fence, it tells us earlier on in the passage. They would jump over this fence in order to steal the sheep or to hurt the sheep, right? But here's the crazy thing is they would jump over this wall. But I was thinking, man, they couldn't jump back over because sheep, if you know anything about sheep, they can get up to almost 350 pounds. 350 pounds. So imagine trying to lift this back over this fence that you jumped. It just would not happen. So they had to figure out other ways to get to the sheep, right? Because they couldn't jump over the wall. They had to figure out other ways they could get to them. Last year, we were moving some stuff. My wife and I moved from San Juan Capistrano to Garden Grove. And my dad helped out. My brother helped out. A couple of other people helped out. But inside the back of my truck at the time was this desk. And it was really heavy, right? And it was a little bit awkward, right? So whenever you say something's awkward, you know it's heavy, right? And this thing was heavy. And so in it, my dad and my younger brother, they helped us move it into the truck, right? And it was kind of a pain. But throughout the night, like, we were like, man, I don't know where to put this. And it was really heavy. So my dad was like, just leave it in the truck. And we're like, really? We should leave it in the truck? And we said, well, if someone could lift it, then they deserve it. Because they did all that work to get it off, right? So they can just keep it. And no one touched it because it was that heavy, right? So, but here's the thing is, it's scary to think about how these thieves, because they couldn't carry the sheep over, they had to try other means to get to the sheep. And one of the ways that they did that, you learn in verse 5, is that they would try to get the sheep by calling them to follow them, right? They would try to get the sheep by calling them to follow them, right? They would pretend to be a shepherd and say, hey, come follow me, right? And at the time of Jesus, there were those voices who were also trying to call people, the people of God, to follow them rather than Jesus. Namely, at the time, there was the religious leaders who were leading the people with the religion of rules apart from God to destruction, right? They're saying, man, the way that you get right with God doesn't really have to do with God. It really has to do with, man, how much you tithe here or how much you do this here, when the Bible would tell us, man, it's completely opposite of that. In fact, we have nothing but filthy rags to give God. The righteousness that we have is from him alone, right? But today it's the same thing, right? We're going to see in the same passage that Jesus also calls us to follow him. But today there's also competing voices, right? Both in the religious world and the irreligious world. So the question is who are we following then? Who are we following? And you guys might be offended that I said, hey, that we're followers, right? You might be thinking, I'm a nonconformist, right? You're just following, whether you realize it or not, you're just following other people who have said that before, right? Ecclesiastes talks about, Ecclesiastes 2, there's nothing new under the sun. It's all been done before. And so you're kind of doing the same thing, right? In the very way that we're all made, guys, we're actually made to follow, right? And all of us are following, whether we realize it or not, someone or something. And a lot of times it could be something harmless, right? It could be like a, man, I'm following this person's style. I'm following this person's haircut, right? For me, I used to, when I was in my musician days, I used to follow Phil Wickham. So whenever he did the side, I was like, all right, that's cool, right? And I would follow that same thing and it was harmless. But the trouble is sometimes those voices calling us to follow aren't always harmless. Because they present themselves as competing voices to the shepherd, Jesus. Whether it's a certain view, whether it's a certain agenda, whether it's a certain idea, right? Whether it's certain idols inside this life, man, these things that are calling us away from him don't lead us to life, they lead us to death. You know, one thing that I was thinking about particular in this area is the idea that, man, the greatest good in life is your happiness, that anything that gets in the way of what I want is evil. But do you ever think about, man, how that really is just an oxymoron? Because in order to get your good, that means no one else matters. And so in that, you can do something to them, right? And then that is no longer good for them. So how does that work out? It doesn't. It just leads to destruction. Destruction of relationships, destruction of ourselves, and destruction from that closeness that we're meant to have with Jesus. If it's not leading us to Jesus, then it's not leading us to life. If it's not leading us to Jesus, then it's not leading us to life. But again, today we hear these voices from people that don't care about us, things that don't care about us, and they're ultimately leading us to destruction. And the reason I bring this up is because sometimes, guys, sometimes those voices are convincing. But here's the awesome thing is God sees those things. In Ezekiel 34, God is speaking to religious leaders, right? Like those who were a lot like the people in Jesus's day, they were supposed to be shepherds of the people of God, but they only really cared for themselves, right? Instead of shepherding the people, rather they exploited them and they pretty much just got anything they could from them. And so God tells them that they're gonna now be treated as his enemies for taking advantage of the ones that he loved, his sheep. As Bob Marley said, you know, you can fool some people sometime, but here you see, man, you can fool God none of the times. And then in this passage, God steps in and he tells his people, he himself will be their shepherd, right? And he's gonna care for them because he's good. And then he promises a future king at that time and a future shepherd to be from the line of David. Later on in the passage, it says this, and I quote, Ezekiel 34:23 says, and I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David. He will feed them and be a shepherd to them. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be a prince among my people. I, the Lord, have spoken. So when Jesus is saying, I'm the good shepherd, he's saying, I am the king who God sent. I'm the king who's rightly set to rule over his people. And in this statement, he's claiming, man, his deity. So who is this good shepherd, and what makes him so good? Verse 10 tells us, unlike the thief who wants to hurt the sheep, the good shepherd wants to lead us to life abundant or life in full, meaning he wants to lead us to the good life. You know, the life that we so badly desire, the life that we're like, man, I just wish that my life were like this. I wish I were loved. I wish I were accepted. I wish, man, I had the purpose and meaning. Jesus would say, man, this is found not in these other fake shepherds. This is found under my leading. So verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The word good here is the word kalos, right? This means excellent or honorable or morally intrinsically good or worthy. And as we go in this passage, guys, I want us to see that Jesus is all of this and he's more, especially as we see him in contrast to these fake shepherds. Verse 12, it says, he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. So shepherding, guys, whether we realize it or not, it was a gnarly job. I always thought of it something easy, kind of like male modeling, right? Where it's just basically, hey, you just lay there and you kind of just chill, right? That shepherding's pretty much that. Just, hey, make sheep eat some grass and then they clean up their poop and that's shepherding, right? But I recently reread a book on Psalm 23. It's the famous psalm that they quote at every funeral. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, right? He leads me down in my green pastures. Man, have you guys ever really stopped and slowed down and really read that passage and really thought about what it's saying? Because when you actually read that psalm, you see that David is saying, man, God, he has everything he needs. He's given me everything I need. And God sustains him. He provides for him. He watches over him. He walks alongside of him in all these seasons. He fights for him. He's always with him. He leads him. This is what a good shepherd does. And the amazing thing is, this is written by a man who was a shepherd. And from his experience of being a sheep of the shepherd, he's saying, nothing compares. That's what Psalm 23 is really saying. But this book that I was reading is actually an author who is writing from that same perspective. He was a shepherd himself, right? His insights throughout the book are amazing. But what hit me last time is this vivid picture of how much a shepherd actually sacrifices for sheep. He does. He explains that, man, for sheep, they have things come against them all the time. Bugs, disease, stupidity, wild animals, constantly getting themselves into horrible situations. And because of the nature of the sheep, the shepherd almost never sleeps, right? He has to have his eye on the sheep almost 24 hours a day, right? So it makes you wonder, why would someone want to actually put themselves through it? Why would someone want to be a shepherd? Especially as sheep get themselves in trouble, not to mention here in verse 12, we just read that there's predators, right? And the hired hand would say the same thing. Why would I do that? I don't really care for the sheep. Every year before summertime, I decide to go on a diet. And that diet, I usually do pretty good for somewhere between 2 weeks to a month. 2 weeks to a month, right? And in it, like, I'm rocking in the beginning. I'm like, man, this is awesome. I was telling my wife this last time. I was like, man, I really like eating healthy, right? And then you just see something that looks delicious, and you're like, man, is this worth it? Like, why am I doing this, right? And why am I putting myself through this, right? And you're wondering, you're like, man, I don't know if it's worth it. Well, this hireling would say the same thing. Verse 12, it says, he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. In 1 Samuel, there's a story about David when he was young and tending his sheep. He had to fight off actual bears and lions. I just read it the other day, and I didn't remember this before, but David actually not only fights these guys, but he actually risks his life by pulling sheep out of the mouths of lions and bears, right? And he fought them off by a club. Can you imagine having this little club and he's fighting up a bear or a lion? But then I was like, you know what? Man, that is crazy, but I could actually relate to that in a lot of ways. My brother and I, my grandma used to have this like mean potbelly pig. And we throw lemons at it, and too. And I was like, man, that's pretty brave too, right? But we were like, we're kind of similar, right? But in verse 12 and 13, it mentioned that there's a hired hand or a hireling. And basically, it's this person that was hired to care for the sheep, but it wasn't the shepherd. These hired hands really didn't know the sheep. They didn't care for them. They just did it for the money or what they got out of it. But whenever there was trouble, whenever there was something hard, they would just book it, right? Because they did it for the love of themselves, and it wasn't worth it for them to put themselves in danger. It wasn't worth it, like I was talking about earlier. If you guys remember earlier, I said that Jesus is saying these things to religious leaders and also people that were watching. And they threw out a man who was blind but couldn't see. But it was sad to think that, man, at that same time frame, the people that were supposed to be leading people toward God, we're actually leading them away from the shepherd. And they don't really care about the people. And I was like, man, this is the hireling. Man, they're the thief and robber, right? But in complete contrast, we see David here. And even more We see Jesus. That they did these things, they sacrificed or were willing to put themselves in danger, not because of what they got out of it, but because they loved their sheep. Verse 14, as we get close, I'm the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold, I must bring them also and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. Guys, do you realize that the God of the universe, the one that created everything, knows you and wants a relationship with you? Doesn't even just want a relationship, but he already knows what you're about. I don't know if you guys have ever met a celebrity before and you sit in line to wait to meet this person, right? And so you stand in line for hours and hours and then you finally get to shake their hand or get the autograph, right? You ever think, or actually when you get there, you're like, and this person couldn't care less about me, right? I spent all this time because I'm like, man, I want to see this person. I want to meet this person, but they couldn't care less. And then scripture would tell us the opposite. They're saying, man, the God of everything wants to not only know us, but he loves us and he knows about us. The reason is, guys, is scripture would tell us that since the beginning, that's what we were made for. To know, to worship, and to glorify God. The problem is man, we rebelled against him, right? We rebelled against his plan, we pushed against it, and then we were separated because of it. So the story of Jesus is this rescue mission, right? It's this mission of God to restore things to the way that they were supposed to be. And Jesus does this by giving up his life for us. That's why in verse 11 it says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Because the spotless lamb gives us life for stupid sheep. The spotless lamb, the one that's perfect in every way, gives us life for us. And he doesn't do it without knowing what he's getting into. In fact, it tells us in Romans 5, it says, man, but God demonstrated his own love toward us, that while we were still sinners, that's when he died for us. It wasn't when he was like, man, I'm getting something good out of it, but he knew everything about us. And unlike the hireling who considered risking his life, the sheep, not worth it, risking his life for the sheep, not worth it, the good shepherd actually gave his life because you are worth it to him. Because you are worth it to him. Though he has made us to have a relationship, guys, what does that mean? What am I trying to say? Relationship, according to the dictionary, is how someone's connected, right? But in God's plan for relationship, we see that in verse 14. Verse 14 says, I'm the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Relationship was meant to be intimate. Guys, to know God intimately and having a relationship is what we're made for both now and forever. John 17:3 says, and this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. The word here for know, both inside this passage and in the John 17 passage, is the word gnosko, which is to know by experience, to know closely and intimately. And this is exactly what God is calling each of us into. Like I said earlier, he knows us, but we're also to know him. And Hebrews tells us we can do this now, guys, because Jesus has made a way for us to have access to the Father, and we can come directly to him, right? And because of that, he's made a way for us to know him and get to know him through his word. The spiritual disciplines, you know, reading God's word, praying, reflecting, those things aren't just meant to be done and just being like, all right, like I did my time. Those things are actually to bring us to the God of the word. Those things are actually meant to cultivate a relationship with Jesus. If you see it simply as like, oh, man, I just did my time, I read my devos, I did good, then you're always going to miss it. That's like the Pharisees who said in the past, or who Jesus says to the Pharisees, where he says, man, you think the scriptures are what saves you. You think that in them you found life, and you miss out that they're pointing to me. And guys, it's so easy for us to do the same, where we get sucked into that same way of living and just thinking, man, this is the life right here. It's meant to point us to Jesus. But not only does he speak through his word, it tells us in Galatians that he actually leads us by his spirit personally. And we know it's him leading us because it matches up to his word. So you have to know his word. And again, man, as he leads you by his spirit, he's going to both empower you to do that work, and also he is going to show you what that is. Secondly, in verse 16, as we get to the close, verse 16 would point out that to have a relationship with him always means it starts with grace. In verse 16, Jesus is getting the people ready, alluding to them that one day Jews and Gentiles together are going to be his people. Scripture would tell us that, man, we were once not his people, but now we've been made his people. Ephesians 2, we guys all know the verse that, man, that we've been saved by grace through faith, not works lest any man should boast. We know that, right? But later on in the passage, it tells us, man, he brings together these people who are far off, and he brings them near. He brings them together as one people, and he makes them their own, and he calls them their family. But scripture would tell us, man, that wasn't because we're good. It's because of his grace. So no matter what your spiritual background is, whatever your pedigree, whether it is, man, I've never been in the church before, or whether I've been homeschooled all my life, or watching VeggieTales and all these different things, then, man, you still need to be saved by the grace of God. And the amazing thing is he doesn't see us as one higher or one lower, but rather he gives us equal standing before the Father. All of us who are far away are brought near by the completing of his rescue plan. So none of us can boast. But guys, these things are meant to point out to us, man, how much God loves us, how much he loves us. Throughout God's word, there's different ways that God relates to us as his own, as father and children, right? Sheep and shepherd, husband, friend, king, and people. But none of them ever is he subordinate to us. None of them ever is he subordinate to us. I was just thinking about actually when Jesus makes himself a servant, and that he condescends and makes himself that. He brings himself there. Never does he say, yeah, you treat me like that. No. But for us, there might be a bit of a disconnect here because of our culture, because of what we learn, right? Because this idea confronts everything that we are taught all the time, what many of us believe, right? Most of us think, man, if I do this, if I get what I want, if I have everything that I want here, then it's going to lead to the life that I want. It's going to lead me to what I really desire. But guys, what I do want to be sure of, if you miss all of it, I don't want you guys to follow a voice that leads to dead end or worse, to destruction. I don't want you guys to follow a voice that leads to a dead end or worse, to destruction. Most of us, the idea of someone ruling over us sounds horrible, right? Most of us, we're like, man, someone ruling over me and telling me what to do or what's good or what's not, that sounds horrible. And it would be if the shepherd wasn't the shepherd and did not love us like he does. To have a relationship with God doesn't mean that we get to do whatever we want, because that's placing us where he belongs, right? We have a relationship with God because he first loved us, and now we can love him. And it shows that we love him by our obedience and the way that we submit to him. And here's the awesome thing is that's actually a good thing. My son, he's a year and a half now. But a few months ago, he was really into just putting everything in his mouth, right? You would kind of take off your eyes off of him for a second and he'd just be like putting something in there. Thankfully he's growing out of it now. My wife actually had to leave to go somewhere, and so it was just me and him, and we were preparing, getting ready to go. And so he walks off, and I just see him, like, in the corner, and he's just, like, in the corner tucked away. And he, like, is putting something in his mouth, and I'm like, hey, what are you putting in there? And so I run over there, and it's, like, this, like, big, like, piece of, I don't even know, like, plastic or something, too. And then I'm like, hey, what are you doing? And so I open up his mouth, and then, like, I put my finger in there, and then I'm like, hey, buddy, I'm like, don't eat that. I'm like, let Dad give you what's good. And at that moment, I slowed down for a second. I was like, man, let Dad give you what's good. God, that's what you're telling me all the time. That the reason I did that, it's not because I don't love him. The reason I did that is because I love him and I want what's best for him. I want him to flourish. I want him to succeed. I want him to do well. And as God tells us, man, what's good and what's not, it's not because he doesn't love us. In fact, he wants to lead us to that life abundant, to where we flourish and we succeed and we do well. Guys, that's a cheap picture of what I just said, of the way the good shepherd feels about his sheep, right? The question is what kind of shepherd will you follow? What shepherd will you follow? My hope is the good shepherd. As I said earlier, the word good can mean intrinsically or morally good, but it can also mean worthy. And as we look in this passage, I hope you guys seen that, man, he is the only one worthy. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you that, Lord, you've given us the ability to choose to follow you. But Father, that's something as Christians we need to do daily. Lord, as we deny ourselves, we pick up the cross and follow you. Lord, but the amazing promise is it's not leading us to death. It's not leading us to the ridding of joy. But Father, you say it's the abundance of joy. Lord, you say it is life abundantly. And so, Father, I pray for just this body of believers. Father, help them to choose you as the good shepherd. Lord, where they would see you as worthy and above every other being. God, that we would be able to agree with Philippians 2, where it says, man, one day every knee will confess that you're God. One day every knee will bow and call you Lord. And so, Father, we want to call you Lord, knowing you love us. God, you've died for us. You know us. And God, you've provided what's best for us. So, Lord, we thank you for this time, and we pray that you would meet us in this time of worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more.
No more.
Unlock the door that holds.